would, you could go ahead and open up to Exodus 19. What we want to do is, because Rosh Chodesh is going to be this evening, so we wanted to do our message and our word now, but also just for a little bit of clarity, because this message will be aired the following week, and so just to let people know too that's going to be watching it from our community and maybe on HRN that we are a week behind, so don't think that we'll be Rosh Chodesh in a week late. Amen? Anyway, just want to do a little bit of that clarity because it would be really hard probably to do a live version and try to get it uploaded the way we're doing things. So, with that said, the word of the month for us is, this is what came to me, is Yahweh wants to give us a fresh anointing of His Ruach. Amen. Now, we've been through a lot. As we pray, as we look for these words that He gives us, and it really just ties in with the message. So I just wanted really to combine all of this together. But if you ever notice, whenever Israel would go through a hard time, whether coming out of Babylon or whether what they went through in the days of Esther, whatever the Maccabeans went through, you could see that whenever they went through a battle and when they were emerging from the other side of it, He would always give them a fresh anointing of His Spirit, the Ruach, to be able to press on and to be able to enjoy and to celebrate the victories that the Father has placed in their lives. But the thing about it is, too, is this, but it says, but we have to make ourselves ready. It's just not that the Father is just going to give you something. We have a process to go through ourselves. We have to make ourselves ready. We're going to use the scriptures as we're heading into Shavuot. If you want this to be a good Shavuot, this is the week you make yourself ready. Starting now, starting the first day of the week, the second day of the week, all the way until we get to the sixth day, which is going to be on a Friday. And what you put into it, we've always said this. If you've ever, I was raised in sports. That's just something I was raised in. And perfect practice will help us play a perfect game. Practice just don't make practice, because if you practice wrong, you're going to play wrong. And we always say this, for those that's been in this, into sports, the fourth quarter, the end of the game, when the score is close, when your legs want to cramp, and all of the things, you got to dig down deep to be able to get to the end of the game and to get to the end of the game victorious. That's what this is about. So it's not that Yeshua do it all? Yeshua did it all in His portion, in His part. But we have a part to do too. And that's one thing that I don't want to sound like I'm sacrilegious or anything, but Yeshua did it all without Him, but yet the Torah and His Holy Spirit is given us for a reason. If He did it all and we didn't have to do anything, we wouldn't need His Torah. We wouldn't need His Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. We could just flail through life, you know, like a fish on a bank that's out of water, and just expect on that day we can just enter into His kingdom. No, we have something that we need to do. So He wants to give us a fresh anointing of His Holy Spirit, but we have to make ourselves ready. That's what the word is for us this month. Amen? Okay, in Exodus 19, verse 1, naturally it says, on the third Rosh Chodesh, after the people of Israel had gone out from the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. So what we've seen is we've seen a journey that's been going from Egypt all the way through with their grumbling and complaining. Now, I just want to say this about grumbling and complaining. Even in all of their grumbling and complaining, they are now at the foot of the mountain and Yahweh still wants them. Guys, that's love. That's love. How many people would have shucked somebody from grumbling and complaining? If you was driving the bus and you had a lot of people grumbling and complaining on the bus, probably a few stops along the way, they'd probably say, this stop is yours. You know, we're going to keep going. We don't want to hear that. But yet, that's His unconditional love. This is a love, and this is a promise that He made to Abraham. This is really a promise that He made all the way back to Yeshua, who was slain before the foundations of the world. Now, guys, this is a love that I can't comprehend. I'm just being honest with you. But this is a love that our Heavenly Father has for us, that even if we grumble and complain, if we repent, He still pulls us into His bosom. Think about it. We always say He's the Elohim of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances. If we will honestly repent and not just keep saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Amen. This is how awesome of an Elohim we serve. And so this is in this story showing that he still, through all in this journey, he still loved his people enough to make a covenant with them. Amen? Okay, verse 2. So they set out from Rephidim and they came into the wilderness of Sinai and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain. Now to me, we've talked about this over the years. This word encamp has a spirit of oneness and a spirit of purpose. They're there for a reason, and they're there in one mind and one accord. In other words, at this very moment, they're not grumbling or scattered. They're in this, okay? Verse 3, while Moses went up to Elohim, Yahweh called him to the out of the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel. Listen to this next verse, because I'm going to pull out some of these verses because they're very, very powerful. For you yourself have seen. This is the first thing that he's trying to establish. He's reminding them of his greatness and his power. Okay? This is the first thing when you enter into covenant with our Heavenly Father, the first thing that Yahweh, what is the first commandment? I am Yahweh. And there is no other. You see, he has to establish who you're worshiping. That has to be established first. No, you don't go through, you have to know what you're in this for. So Yahweh is establishing, you yourself have witnessed, you have seen, you have experienced. So he's reminding them of his greatness and his power. What I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and I brought you to myself. So he's saying, you know what? You didn't have anything to do with this. You wasn't in this fight. This was my fight. I fought for you. I brought for you. You're my bride. I did everything, and I brought you now to me. But now that I'm bringing you to me, I'm fixing to betroth you, and I'm fixing to give you your ketubah. And when I give you your ketubah, then there's going to be something that you're going to have to do is part of this marriage, okay, a part of this covenant, a part of this coming together. And I just want to let you know one other thing. Even in the land that I'm taking you, there ain't nobody can stop me. There is no Elohim on this earth but me. And there's nobody that can defeat me. And if they can't defeat me, I'm fighting for you. They cannot defeat you. But you can defeat yourself. This is what he's trying to bring in them in their mind as he's setting them up. Because this is what he says in verse 5. Now therefore, what? If, that little bitty word, we talk about this every year. We talk about it through the year. This little word is a conditional word. He's saying, now therefore, if, now, the choice is ours. Now he's saying if. Now he's throwing something to us. If you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. You see how everything he's done, he's reminding you how powerful he is. But guess what? You can mess this up. Because if you don't obey and if you don't keep, then you're not going to be my treasured possession. But you are mine. I've did all the work. Just simply do what I ask you to do. That's all I'm asking you to do. Verse 6. And he says, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. Now, you can stay there. I just want to read 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Because Peter is also referencing back. There's not two different covenants here. There was not a covenant in the Old Testament, and there's a covenant in the New Testament. It's the same language. So Peter is teaching them the same thing about Yeshua. He's talking to them about Yeshua. Now, if you know, Paul was sent to the Gentiles. Peter mainly stayed with the Jewish people. They stayed with the tribes of Israel. So this is who he's talking to. And this is why he used this language. He used this language because they would know that they were familiar with this. They're familiar with Exodus. They're familiar with the covenant that he made at Sinai. So I believe this is why Peter used this language. In verse 9, chapter 2 of Peter, he says this, but you are a chosen generation. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We know that holy, kadosh, is set apart. You're set apart. A people for who? His own possession. You can see this. In other words, I'm setting a people apart for my own possession. It's the same word that you read in Exodus 19:5. You shall be my treasured possession among all the peoples. It's the same terminology. He's not doing something different or something new. He's renewing what they messed up through the journeys. That you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Amen? All right, and let's go back to Exodus 19 if you're still there. I know some turned. So he's setting this stage up and said, look, I've done the work. You're my treasured possession. But yet, grace gets you in the house. Faith gets you in the house and grace gets you in the house. But what? Obedience now keeps you in the house. That's what this is meaning here. So obedience, we have our part to play because we want to stay in His house. Amen? Verse 7. So Moses came and he called the elders and the people and he set before them all of these words that Yahweh had commanded him. Now in this next verse, you're going to see where it says Moses called, the people answered, and Moses reported. Okay? It says all the people answered together and said, and this is this famous scripture that we always used. It's almost like during the time of Esther, you know, when we use the where you call for this time, you know, and this purpose. That's right, such a time as this. So this is the same thing. All that Yahweh has spoken, we will do. And Moses reported the words of the people to Yahweh. And Yahweh said to Moses, behold, I am coming to you in a thick cloud. We talked about these parallels last week about clouds and glory and on the sixth day and on the seventh day. All of these things. This is what's happening here. Verse 10. Then it says, Yahweh said to Moses, now here's our part. And guys, I just want to say this. This is not just for that moment. This is Shabbat. We should have been making ourselves ready before we got here today. We need to make ourselves ready before Shavuot, and we have a Shabbat next week. Every Shabbat, every feast and festival, we have a mandate on us that we're coming before our King. And if we're coming before our King, we need to make ourselves ready. We don't need to just come on in here and see what He's got. That's not what this is about. This is about us making ourselves ready, being used. That's how you're used of the gifts of the Spirit. The manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit is making ourselves ready during the week. Now, yes, we can be in season and out of season, but really what does that mean to be in season and out of season? If you're not making yourself ready, you have nothing for the season. That's really what he's saying. If your cup is not full, how are you going to empty it on somebody? If we come in here empty, you see what I'm saying? Then there's nothing that we can give. So this is a pattern and a principle that tells us that we need to every week make ourselves ready. So he says what? Go to the people, consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments. We need to be consecrated, and our garments need to be clean spiritually. Spirit, soul, and body, we need to be clean before Him. And then he says what in verse 11? And be ready. Consecrate today and tomorrow, wash your garments, and be ready for the third day. See, we know when Shabbat is. This is not a surprise to us. But how many of us really and truly, we come in and we slide into home, you know, like a baseball game. We slide into Shabbat hoping the devil doesn't throw us out before we get there. But a lot of times we live our lives that because our week gets so busy. We have to set back purpose to make sure that we have proper time to make sure that every day of the week that we're making ourselves ready for this day. Because I'm telling you, if the power of the Holy Spirit, which He promised to do it, and this is a promise. Now, He says this in the Word, greater works that we will do than He's done. Now, I haven't seen that. I've witnessed that from time to time. I have. But still, I don't want to say greater than He's done. Because I've not seen a leper. I haven't seen these things happen. But I desire, and I know you do, that the very miracles that Yeshua had whenever He walked. You know, there's going to be some people in here this in the field of being a doctor. You know what I'm saying? And you know, there's going to be a day that whenever you're sitting there and you're going to be stumped over something. How awesome it is when you can go in your closet in that room and you can pray, Father, I need you to help me with this. I need you to give me your wisdom and your knowledge. What am I dealing with here? Reveal the thing that's hidden. And you know what? The Father will reveal that which is hidden. Amen. And then that person will be raised up. And that's the Elohim that we're serving. Nurses can do that. We can do that. But you know what? We don't have to be a doctor to do that. Because if somebody is when somebody needs help at that moment, and we don't have time to get a doctor there, guess what? You'd adopt. You know what? Pray. Pray and be led by the Spirit. He gives us that authority and that power. We're going to be, but it's the Holy Spirit in His Torah leads and guides us to where we're able to not misuse it, but to be able to use it so He gets the glory. Amen? So we have to be ready. And it says, for on the third day, Yahweh is coming down from the Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. All right, verse 12. Now, guys, I got this in the room just a while ago. Verses 12 and 13. So I'm going to read it and then I'm going to back up. And you shall set limits for the people around you, saying, take care not to go up into the mountain or touch the edge of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall be put to death. I said, now that's pretty stern. You're going to come up to the mountain, but you can't touch the edge of it, and you're not going to come up on the mountain. If you do, you're going to die. No hand shall touch it, but you shall be stoned or shot. Whether beast or man, he shall not live. Even the animals have to stay at bay. When the trumpet sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain. And I was like, you know, really and truly, I've heard this, and I believe that most of us would testify to this. If Yeshua was on that mountain somewhere, I want to go up there with him. I want to get up there with him, even if I got to climb up the backside. So I was like, what is going on here that the Father's going to come down the mountain, but the people in all of their excitement was not going to be allowed to go up? And so I was praying, I was asking him, and this is what I believe he says. In our lives, the Father sets boundaries. Because we can't worship him any old way we want to worship him. And this is a pattern and a principle, because guess what? In the Garden of Eden, he set a boundary. Not to eat of one of the trees. And when they ate of that tree, what did it cause? Hello, here we are. It caused sin and death, and it caused all this sickness, and it caused these battles. So I'm seeing here that the Father, He's showing us that obedience is more important than our feelings. A lot of times, we will go to worship Him because we're excited. Because let me tell you what happened only a few months later from this. Moses stayed up on the mountain too long. And what took over? Their feelings. And they built a golden calf. See, Yahweh had boundaries. So he's setting boundaries over here. You just can't go by your feelings and just let your excitement overrun what is proper and the way that we're supposed to worship him and honor him. Can you see what I'm saying? Why don't you grab the mic?
When I see that, I was watching a program the other day about a little girl who saw a vision, and it just turned the city into chaos. And all the law enforcement people were trying to stop people from stampeding. Mm-hmm. And what this shows me is that he wants us to reverence his presence.
Amen.
And he knew what was going to happen, because our flesh, just like you said, wouldn't want to go run into it.
That's right.
And when you got thousands of people running up that mountain, it's total chaos. It's a stampede, and it's Yahweh's way of saying, I want you to reverence my presence. You stand still.
Amen.
And know that I am God.
Amen. Amen. Because think about this. A lot of times, boundaries are set up to keep us focused. That we don't, because everybody, if there's not boundaries, then your opinion, my opinion, and all of these opinions we would all do exactly what you're saying. Because if there's 2 to 4 million people, I don't know. Everybody's running up the mountain. Everybody's running over everybody. Everybody's doing it their own way. We can't do this. And this is what I believe that the Father was speaking to me, that this is a very, very important two scriptures of a pattern that's put in there to keep us to where we know that we have to have boundaries in our life. The Torah is set up full of boundaries. And it's for us to stay focused on one thing, on Him. Think about the Torah and all the commandments that it's given us. It gives us how we are to worship and how we are to worship and how we're to love one another. But it protects me and you. It tells me and you how we are to treat one another in every aspect of life. That's what it's designed to do. Keeps us focused. And so these boundaries, these two scriptures here, I believe that He has put that in place as a pattern to let us know that obedience is more important than our feelings. Okay? All right, let's jump down to verse 14. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and consecrated the people. And he washed their garments. And he told them, aren't you going to wash your garments? Now, again, consecrate means to declare or set one apart as sacred. Verse 15. And he said to the people, be ready on the third day and do not go near a woman. On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. So all the people in the camp trembled. Now here again, you know, we've talked through this journey of what they witnessed. You can imagine all the things, you know, that they've witnessed and all the things that they've experienced. And I thought over and over and over again, how in the world, when you have, it's like whenever the manna comes down, how are you not going to listen to what He says? When He says it's going to come down 6 days, on the sixth day, get a double portion, because it ain't going to be there on the seventh day. And not only that, if you're going to lay in bed and sleep all day, guess what? The sun's going to disappear and you ain't going to get nothing to eat. And then if you go out and try to be greedy and you gather it all, then worms is going to eat it. And yet the people still did not listen to what He said for the most part, a handful. We still have that today. And these are people, now we're people of faith. We're people that, we have the story. We need to internalize this because this happened. And we need to know that it happened. But these are some of the things that I think that we struggle with. Because when something happens to us in our life that changes our life, like what's happened over the past 8 or 10 weeks, where there's so much uncertainty. You know, and like I said, we have to look up. We can't be looking to the left and the right, because I'm going to tell you, looking at what's going on through that television tube, I want to throw a brick through it half the time. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, hello, people. What in the world? How? We down south, we call it ignorant. Okay? Instead of ignorant, ignorant. They must think we ignorant to sit there and lie and just do and just like we're just going to believe it. It's just totally believable. Okay, so you see that the people, when all of this started happening, the camp started to tremble. Verse 17, then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet Elohim. How awesome would this be? I mean, really, just putting ourselves there to know that we're camped there, we're here. We don't really know what's going to happen. And then all of a sudden, you're seeing a cloud and you're seeing fire and you're seeing earthquakes and lightnings. And Yahweh's voice is going to start speaking. And we all say that we would love to be there and hear that. But I can tell you here, I think we would all be like them. We would be trembling. Then Moses brought out the people of the camp to meet Elohim. And they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Verse 18, now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because Yahweh had descended on it with fire. The smoke of it went up like a smoke in a kiln, and the mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and Yahweh answered in the thunder. Can you imagine Moses speaking and Yahweh now, and all the people are witnessing this? And Yahweh came down on the mountain, on Mount Sinai, to the top of the mountain, and Yahweh called Moses to the top of the mountain, and he went up. Okay, let's go to John chapter 16. We're going to shift gears just a little bit, but we're going to put this into perspective. We've taught this story over and over and over again. The miracles of all of the things that's happened during their time. But what about our time? Because I don't guess that in my lifetime that I'm going to be able to go to Mount Sinai and him recreate that. Don't be so sure. That's right. But whenever you think about it, a lot of times whenever he did something once. Now, he may do something, I think, greater than he did there. Amen. But he did something once there. He that's right, it's patterns and principles. And he led his spirit in Acts 2. Remember we talked about fire coming down the mountain and the disciples and all of those that there were filled with the Holy Spirit. What came on the top of their head? Tongues of fire. So you see these patterns and principles are all there. And absolutely, you will definitely see something in the end, and it will be greater than what we're seeing now. But how great was this with these people? How great was it during the time of the Acts and the people? But you know, all it took was it took the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all of them people who denied what happened in Acts 2. And then what happened to all of the apostles and the disciples and everybody? They started scattering because they were starting to throw them in jail. The work of the Holy Spirit, and that's what really we're here for, is the work of the Holy Spirit. Let me get my other little note out here so I don't go too far too fast. All right, verse 5 in chapter 16. But now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you ask, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Now, I would have loved for him to stay if I was there. But yet he's telling the people, it's to your advantage if I go. Now, if he's telling you that it's to your advantage that I go away, guess what? It's to our advantage that he went away also. And we have to understand and realize that. Because I know a lot of times for us, if Yeshua was in this place, if Yeshua was literally physically ruling and reigning in this place, we wouldn't do anything. Because we would wait on him to do everything. Because I noticed by reading the scriptures, just hang with me on this one. What did the disciples do? Until he sent them out on their own, they sat back and did what? They watched. Waiting for him to do the next great thing. Or would we be any different? That's what usually we would do. If a leader or if the rabbi and he has his disciples, who do they usually give ground? Who do they usually give way to? The rabbi, to see what he's going to do. But Yeshua leaves so that we would do greater things than he has done. That's what he's saying here. So he's saying, "For I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper," and this is what we're talking about here today, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Torah was given at Sinai, now the Holy Spirit's been given. Guys, we have both now. Now, they had both then also, but we have both. But we have both, not on tablets of stone on the outside, but on the inside. We have him living on the throne of our heart. But if I go, I will send him to you. It's a promise. Verse 8. This is the first thing that he's going to do that the Holy Spirit will end up doing for us. He leads us or guides us away from sin. There's a lot of things that the Holy Spirit does for us, but now we're going to see what is he doing for us. First thing he's going to do is he's going to guide or lead us away from sin. It says, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. This is what he's going to do first. Concerning sin, because they did not believe in me. What did they do to him? They crucified him. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. These are the things that's happening. But the first thing that the Ruach HaKodesh comes for us is to judge sin, to keep us away from that, to bring righteousness and judgment. Number two, we're going to jump to verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into what? All truth. That's another thing that the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, is here for, is to guide us into truth. Where is the truth? It's within these pages. Okay? Commentaries are great. Other works can be great, but they do not replace this. This is alive. Commentaries are not living. Commentaries are words that try to help us understand if we don't have the knowledge maybe or the understanding. But the Holy Spirit promises us that He will help us understand this word. But here's the key. The key is we have to be in here more than we are in other books and all of that kind of stuff. If you're a studier, my father-in-law said it like this. Bill always taught me, you got to know how to glean. If you don't know how to glean, don't read other things. Because you will believe that whatever you're reading is true and is fact. And it will end up being contrary to this word. And you know the reason why I believe this is true? Because you know there was that video that we watched that we went to the IMAX, and I can't remember. It was the guy about the Sinai and Egypt, and you know, a lot of us went there. I don't remember the name of it. The Patterns of Evidence. Exodus, okay. Okay, the Patterns of Evidence of the Exodus. Okay, we'll get it in a minute. But what y'all remember what we went and saw, but this is what intrigued me. Who were the people that denied Yeshua and lost their faith? The scholars. The knowed up crowd. The people who had all of the PhDs and had all of this stuff that were sitting there, and because they couldn't reconcile a 200-year period, they lost their faith in Yeshua. They all went in there. They all went into the colleges. They all went in there. They had their degrees of divinity, how all of these things, and yet you can't reconcile 200 years, and you're going to say, there's something wrong with that picture. And the thing is because what I'm saying is they're putting their faith in something other than these pages. There is no way before I die I will understand everything in this book. I won't understand, I was going to say a tenth. If I understand a tenth, that's going to be a lot. There's so much in here that I don't know. I wasn't born and raised in the Torah. I wasn't born and raised in Israel. I wasn't born and raised there. I'm learning how to think in patterns and principles according to the Torah. But guess what? There's a lot of the stuff out there, this commentaries from Jewish writers that go into Kabbalah and they go into everything else that leads you astray. So we have a big job to do. And that's why somebody told me the best way to eat an elephant, one bite at a time. That unkosher thing. So we don't eat elephants. But what does it mean? It just means that we have to take this one bite at a time. We as a community have to take these things one bite at a time so that we can learn and we don't all scatter out and go all different directions. So that's the thing that the Holy Spirit is to lead us and guide us in this Torah to where we can stay focused. Remember boundaries? We talked about that in Exodus. He said, don't come up on this mountain. I do believe 100% the reason why He puts boundaries in our lives is we won't go out and build a bunch of golden calves. But I'm telling you, Christianity today, the body of Messiah today, we have just as many golden calf worshipers as we try to have true worshipers in the body of Messiah. It's everywhere. It's just the way it is. The Father said, don't do this. Look, when you say you can eat what you want to eat, that didn't work for Adam and Eve. You know what I'm saying? Why do we say that the Old Testament and all of that's done away with, and yet that's our boundaries? And what has that allowed us to do? It's allowed us to rewrite, redo, remake congregations and call them by all of these different names. But He's saying, don't do that. Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us in the truth. So I'm going to reread 13. And when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide us into all truth, for He will not speak of His own authority. This is key. Whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. So he's telling us that the Holy Spirit is not going to speak on his own authority. He's only going to do what Yeshua said. I only do what my Father says and do. And that's what we do. Number three, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Guys, think about what this. I'm going slow on this on purpose. Think, this is what the Holy Spirit is here to do. He will glorify me. The Holy Spirit's going to glorify. This is what we're here today, is to lift up Yeshua. You're not lifting me up. We're not lifting up praise team. We're not lifting up one another. We're here to lift up Yeshua. If we lift up Yeshua, then what happens? He said he will draw men to him. That's why we don't have all of these different programs around. Programs don't do you anything but just take up your time. We need to lift up Yeshua in our lives, in our families. And if we do that, he promises, that's how our young children get saved. When you as parents will lift up Yeshua in your home, your children will get saved. Your children will say, I'll need a Savior. And they'll recognize what sin is. Because that's what the Holy Spirit first is to do, is to do what? To convict sin. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine. He's taking from Yeshua himself, and he's declaring it to us. Number four is pretty much the same thing. So he guides us in truth. Number three, he guides us in our purpose and our calling. Whatever he's called us to do, he will equip us to do. I've said this many times, and I'll use myself as an example. If there's anything that's revealed to me, it's because I stand in the office of a pastor. If I wasn't standing in that office of a pastor, there's certain things he wouldn't reveal to me. Why does he want to reveal it? You know, some of you fishermen back there, you're sitting in this chair and you're out here in this congregation. What good does it do for the Holy Spirit right now to reveal to you where the crappie are biting? Just to torment you? You know what I'm saying? Just to torment you. I know right now at Ogotibbe, I know exactly where they're biting because the Holy Spirit revealed to me right now on Shabbat. That ain't the time for him to reveal that to you guys. When you're there and you're getting ready to go fishing and you're ready to get in your boat and all that, you can say, Father, which one of these little holes do I need to go to? That's when he needs to say, cast your net on this side of the boat. That's when you need that answer. So he reveals the very purpose and callings that we have. He's not going to reveal things to me that I don't need. Even though we all want to be Moses, or we all want to be David, or we always want to be, he's just not going to do that. He reveals us what we need at the moment. He reveals our call, and that's what the Holy Spirit does. Y'all don't be back here praying where the crappie's at neither. Let me get through this message. Number four. All that the Father has is mine, therefore I say that he will take what is mine and he declares it to you. He's really saying the same thing, but what he's saying in that scripture that's a little different is he leads us and guides us in his will. We are here to do the will of the Father. We're not here to do. We're not our own anymore. We're here to do his will. So in this teaching today, the Holy Spirit, the Father wants to give us a fresh anointing. Guys, all the stuff that we've been through lately, I need a fresh anointing. We need a fresh anointing because we're coming out of something and we're going to something. You know, they came out of Egypt. They were celebrating when they came out of Egypt. But yet they went through some hard times getting to Mount Sinai. Now they're back at where they're having revival. They had revival. They lost it. Remember, they wrote a praise song when they went through the Red Sea. And 3 days later, they started grumbling and complaining. The Father wants us to be able to walk in the victories and not stay where that victory is, but get ready for the next victory in our life and to look at situations that come to us as opportunities for victories, not defeats, and not grumbling and saying, you know, why are you bringing me here? What are you doing here? What are you doing here? No. If there's going to be a what are you doing, it needs to be what do you want me to do? Not what are you doing, what do you want me to do? What are you calling me to do? I know that you're going to lead me in your will. And you know what? Sometimes Because we don't like boundaries. Why do I just seem to be meddling every now and then? Sometimes in our life, we don't like boundaries. And what we do is we go off on our feelings. We don't go off on the leading of the Holy Spirit. This is why, you know, my wife always says, when I tell her something crazy, the first thing she always asks me is one thing. Have you prayed about it? Because that's the thing, because if the Holy Spirit's leading you, I'm fine. But if you're going off of your feelings, I got a problem. So the first thing, and that's what we should ask ourselves, have we prayed about it? Is the Holy Spirit leading in this? Or are we going on our feelings? Because there's a lot of times, there's a lot of things that feel good, but they're not, the end result ain't good. You know what I'm saying? There's timings, there's everything that plays into this. There's everything in our life that plays into it. His calling, his purpose, all of these things, and this is what I like I said before, we all need, not only here, but the body of Messiah worldwide needs a fresh anointing of his Holy Spirit. We need that because that is what guides us. That's what keeps us straight and keeps us focused. Boundaries, remember, keep us focused. The Holy Spirit is set there to keep us focused on what we're to do. Not to go off of feelings, but to go off of what the Spirit leads us to do. So I pray that I didn't confuse too many people with this. But I just know that the Father wants to do certain things in our life. He wants to bring us up to another level. I don't really know, and I'm just being honest with you. I got an idea, but I don't see clearly that other level yet. But he wants to bring us to another level in him. The direction is going to come. It's because Shavuot is not till a few days away. And I'm like, I wish you would show me right at this moment. But he's going to end up probably showing us some things there. I know there's some things that he wants to show us. I know there's some things that he wants us to be doing. The body of Messiah as a whole, not just here, but everybody, because he's bringing us all into this. And it's very, very important how we react and we respond. But here's the first thing, like I said before, take this time this week. Guys, let's make ourselves ready for Shavuot. Let's make ourselves ready. Let's pray, fast, do whatever we need to do to make ourselves ready. I will promise you this. Hasatan, Satan, does not want us to have a good Shavuot. He doesn't want anybody to have that. He will probably throw into your week something crazy. Let's try not to let that be a distraction that will cause us to not be prepared for Shavuot this week. Because, guys, our life depends on it. And this is the reason why I say that. Have we not been through the craziest last 2.5 months in our life? The uncertainty of people when you're thinking, I can't fathom this, but how in the last 8 to 10 weeks, 38 million people plus lost their jobs. I can't fathom that. The beautiful thing, as far as I know and hear, for the majority of it, we all still have our jobs. The Father is still working with us. Now, there may be a few, and we're praying that the Father, and here's what needs to happen here for those that don't have that job right now. Father, lead me to the calling and the purpose for me. What job am I supposed to have that I will have the right job? Not that I would just, if I don't have a job right now, that I would just, I need the right job. Because the right job is to do what? Is to honor him and glorify him first. So what can he do for the right job in our life? That's a prayer. Hopefully, if you need a job or whatever, put it in that prayer request. Let's pray over it. The right job is so important. So many times I see people, and look, I know when you don't have a job at that moment, it's a scary thing. Because you almost need to take the first thing that comes. But honoring the Father in the feast, and what did he say in Leviticus 23? He says that we will declare the feast to the nations. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he... And how are you going to do that? When you go and you ask for a job and you say, you know what, I want to work for you, but I need these times off because I need to go to the wilderness to honor my king. And they're going to look at you like, what are you smoking? We need to give you a drug test right now. You're going to come in here and tell me you need a job, but now you're going to tell me, the one that's going to give you the job, that you need these things. Yes? Man. But this is why you pray, because you need to find favor with Elohim and with the people that's giving you the interviews. And you can find favor, but if you go off of feeling, it ain't going to go so well. Pray. Get the congregation to pray. Pray that the Father will go, the Holy Spirit will go before you, and He will meet whatever your interviewer, whoever that person in human resources happens to be, He will meet with them. Amen? I've seen it way too many times, too many miracles happen. Let the Holy Spirit lead and guide us, and let's try not to go on feeling. Amen? Let's pray.